Excuse me, November. That's why that other slide's messed up, you know, because I'm messed up, okay? All right, watch the video. It's on the internet. My Hope America Defining Moments will get you right there. Look at the one that's 28 minutes. List and pray on your Matthew list. Just list and pray for people. Put down people you think will never come and pray for them and just see what happens, okay? And then invite your friends and family. We put in the tickets like Tuesday, and it was only $10 more to have them 2 day aired rather than 2 weeks. So we did the extra $10, and they didn't show. So I don't know what happened. So tomorrow I'm going to have to look at it and call them and find out what happened, because I was hoping we would be passing them out today. But we still have plenty of time. It's still early in October. And so we still have a few weeks here yet before that happens. So anyhow, and that list of 1, 2, 3 is on your bulletin flap, right? And I also got word this week, they sent me an email that they are playing The Cross. That's what it's called. The first one really is Defining Moments that we saw. This one is The Cross with Billy Graham. That's the one we're going to watch on November 2nd and 3rd. Now, on the 9th of November at 7 o'clock on Channel 9, they'll have the same video. So if you want to invite somebody and they won't come to church, then invite them over to your house for dinner and that kind of thing. Say, oh, by the way, I wanted to just watch this because this is like Billy Graham's last crusade. Okay, all right, or whatever, however you do it, you know. All right, so let's get on to our sermon. We're on the subject of our mission as a church in evangelism. Now, we have several missions. We have taken our church mission and broken it up into three things, and we say bringing in, building up, and serving together. We're talking about the bringing in people who don't know Christ, and leading them to Christ. And so turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. It'll be up here as well. We're going to just go over those to remind ourselves what our ministry is. Now, all things, or the all, meaning the people in the body of Christ. Now, the people in the body of Christ are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, all right? And then jump down to 20. Now then, we are ambassadors. We are official representatives for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And here's his quote. We implore, we beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled, be resolved, be reunited to God. And so that is one of our missions here, is that we want to always have outreach. That's why Eddie's here. He's kind of going to head up that area of evangelism to keep us in it. Because if we don't have somebody, if we don't have a champion over an area, what do we have? Chaos, right? And so he's going to pull the chaos out of it, you know, hopefully. Okay. I like teasing him. Sharing Christ. Okay, so let's go to our passage for today, and it's in Ephesians 2, 18, and then we add a 19. I'm reading the white, you're reading the yellow, okay? For through him we both have access.
By one Spirit.
Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners,
but fellow citizens of the saints,
and members of the household of God. Man, isn't it great we're citizens? You know, I was thinking about that yesterday when I was doing that funeral, and I'm looking at all these people, and a vast, probably 80% of them have no hope in this life. Absolutely no hope. And we know that, but the guy that passed away in his probably second to the last year sometime, one of the people from this church led him to Jesus Christ. Now, he had a wild life. He was... he'd help anybody, and at the same time, he was a partier and a crouser and a mess. And I look at that, and I think, boy, isn't that great that God has that much grace? And yet, he gives us that much grace. Amen? It's just grace. So let's... but here's the real truth, and that is that the unsaved, just like yesterday, can call on God, and they'll be saved. You remember Romans 10:13, Joel 2:32, and Acts 2:21. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Will be saved. It says shall be saved. It means will, okay? Will be saved. Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. I want to talk about Moses today. There is an element in Moses, a weak element in Moses, that is the same weakness that we have. And I want to talk to him because he has a hesitancy to speak. He doesn't want to speak, and God's asking him to speak, and he won't do it. And so he gives God kind of a hard time, and God gives him a hard time back. And I want to look at those scriptures today. Because one of the problems that we experience when we go to share our faith in any element is getting our mouth open and actually talking about God, right? People will say, well, you know, I read the Bible the other day, and we'll go, oh, that's cool. Yeah, there's cool things in the Bible. And then we kind of let it drop. But here's what confuses us. We have the total ability to talk so much we put our foot in our mouth, right? And then you don't need to raise your hand. I think we all need to raise our hands, right? And we put it, and don't you hate it? You put your foot in the mouth and you feel like, man, I wish I hadn't have said that because I was just talking and talking. And pretty soon I started saying things I shouldn't be saying or wanted to say and that kind of thing. And then we get to the subject of evangelism and it stops. Why? Well, I think it's Satan and his hosts. I believe that we are fighting the frontier when we get to that point, because if there's one thing that Satan doesn't like, it's us sharing Jesus Christ, and we have to push through. So let's begin with our scripture that I want us to meditate on this morning, really meditate, Exodus 4, starting with verse 10. And just so you remember, some of you are fairly new to Christianity. Moses is a character in the Old Testament. The children of Israel are in Egypt. They've been there for 430 years, and God hears their cries, and he chooses Moses to take estimated 5 million people in Egypt out and bring them back to the promised land, okay? And the problem is Moses is too nervous to speak. All right, 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And we've felt that before, haven't we? All of us at some point. So the Lord said to him, "Who's made man's mouth?" Boy, I love it. God never beats around the bush, does he? "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?" Now, I want you to think about what he's saying here. He's saying there's deaf people and there's mute people. They can't hear and they can't speak and that kind of thing. And he's saying, "Moses, you aren't one of those. You can speak and you can hear. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." And we see Moses go out and God tells him every day what to say. Do you believe that can happen to you? Wait a minute, we're not Moses. Oh, we aren't? I think we are Moses and Mosettes. You know, I look at it and I think a lot of times people say, "Well, that was Moses, that was the Old Testament." Wait a minute. Paul says all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so we get our righteousness. If it wasn't for the Old Testament, we'd hardly have any examples of what is right and wrong. And so we see Moses here. And God didn't write that so that Moses could just read it by himself and put it aside. He wrote it for all of us, right? So we can draw the practical conclusions. So we get back to Exodus, the previous chapter, in verse 8. And God states the purpose to Moses and what he will say. He says, "I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, Moses, I think, probably didn't understand the stakes here in delivering of Israel. It wasn't just about these people are unhappy and God's going to pull them out of Egypt so they're happy again and they're not under slavery, is that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons, that they would have Israel, and that they would become a mighty nation that couldn't even be counted. And here they are, being able to be counted down in Egypt. So God's saying, Moses, I have a gift for you, and I'm going to give you a part in the deliverance, the lead role under me, and don't worry what you're going to say. And I think he says the same thing to us, folks. I'm going to give you a part in my kingdom, and you're going to operate it rather than me, and I'm giving that because it's an exciting thing for you to do, and people are going to come to Christ, they're going to grow, and I've given you that part. So God pauses, perhaps to give Moses a change of mind, but if we read between the lines, I think this is what we'd hear God say. You're right, Moses. I didn't choose you because you're Joel Osteen or Chuck Swindoll. I chose you because you're weak. Moses, one of my rules of thumb is not to call many wise or powerful or refined people. So you are absolutely right, Moses. You're not a great talker. In fact, you're better with sheep than you are people. And that's why I want you. Because Moses, you can't do it on your own. I've got to be with you for this to happen. You know, I think probably Moses is pretty red-faced. He tried something that millions in the world have tried since Moses, and that's the humility approach, right? I'm your humble servant, and I'm too humble to do what you told me to do. He used his own insignificance to excuse himself from the task that God was asking him to do. And God's answer to his maneuver is always the same with him or anybody else. Right, you are small and weak, but wrong is not an excuse to cop out. Now why? Because I will be with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. What a lesson for us, because our problem is we don't believe it. Because if we did, we'd be doing something, right? And I'm included in that. I don't want you to think I'm up here talking and I'm doing it all right and you aren't. I think that never works. And I say, when this is a good lesson. I don't mean Moses' stubbornness and low self-esteem and his trying to get out of it. I mean God's patience with Moses and us as he talks to us and moves us along. He has tremendous patience, doesn't he? And tremendous grace. In those, that same chapter says, the Lord, twice. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love for us. Now, let me use myself as an example. I don't know if many of you have heard my story about becoming a Christian and that kind of thing and how I didn't want to accept Christ when I got real vulnerable because I was afraid he was going to make me a pastor, make me speak. Okay, and I was scared to death of crowds, and I came from a family that was scared to death of crowds, so I had it honestly, okay? And I felt like God was leaning on me to be a preacher, and I thought, God, you are not listening to me. You are not listening. I can't speak in public. I can't remember what I'm supposed to say, and my knees shake, and as soon as somebody asks me a question, I go blank. Ever feel that? And God carved Exodus 4:11 on my heart. Steve, who has made man's mouth? Or who has made the mute and the deaf and the seeing and the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And Moses did the same. I had the assumption that God would only pick these supercharger people to do those kind of jobs, and the rest of us just kind of float along, right? And God doesn't work that way. Boy, if you read 1 Corinthians, he confuses the wise and the talented. He's looking for us. There's several flaws in that assumption. And Moses is aware of at least one of them. Moses knows that God can take a person of no eloquence and give it to him and change him into an eloquent, persuasive speaker. And he did, didn't he? When you look at Moses after that. Unbelievable. And so let's look back again. Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since. You have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And here's God's argument to Moses' excuse. Moses and Harvest, if it is not enough to hear me say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I am the I Am. If it is not enough to see the burning bush not be consumed, if it isn't enough to hear me say to Israel, I will be with you in the body of Christ, I will be with you. If it isn't enough for us to realize he is the I Am and can do it, and if it isn't enough to hear me say, I will bring you up out of affliction, and if it isn't enough to see me turn a rod into a snake and make a leprous hand and then cleanse it, then listen to this, Moses. I made your mouth. That's the punchline here. I made your mouth. Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you in the moment that you shall speak. Moses simply didn't have trust in God at that point, but later did. Am I speaking to us this morning? I, like you, so many times just have a hard time trusting God when it's an unknown, when I don't have control of it, right? And, you know, I look back in my life, I thought, okay, here's my struggle, and you think I'm insane. 21 years I've been preaching in this church, not in this building, but you as a church. 21 years. Never missed a time in the pulpit other than another speaker that I can remember in 21 years. And, you know, the days get long sometimes. Like this week, last week and this week, I came into the week with two weddings, a funeral, and two sermons, okay? And then that's with theology classes and counseling and meeting with people and helping get things arranged for November 2nd and 3rd, and we're doing a lot of cleaning and all that kind of thing. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to get stressed out. I want to trust in you, because here's what's happened to me for 21 years. Every time I have a sermon, if it's a busy week, if I pay attention to people, the sermon comes easy. If I don't have as much going on, the sermon comes hard, because God wants me in his word all week, right? But he's always gracious to me when I don't have that time, because there's other responsible. 21 years this has worked, and I still don't know if I'm 100% there when I stop, because I think, well, wait a minute, I got to have my sermon. You know what I'm saying? And you do that in your life, right, too? You know, you have all these to-dos, and you're messed up with it. But my priority is God. Your priority is God. He will listen to you, and he will come through every time, every week, every month, every year. And my prayer for us this morning is that you and I might feel more trust in God for him to speak through us instead of us being afraid. That when we talk to people, we might have the courage to open our mouth. That we might trust in God who made our mouth and supplies the words as we speak, and that we have the courage to open that mouth and talk, because he loves the lost just as much as he loves us. And he desires that all people outside our doors get saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Amen? And in all our weakness, that gives us the chance to trust in God because we have no alternative in it. Who made our mouth and to share our faith. And I pray that it will even make all of us here greet visitors when they enter our doors or the neighbor across the street or the person we work with, because November 2nd and 3rd is our first opportunity that we as a church are coming together to bring somebody to watch a movie, right? I'm going to tell my neighbors, well, I don't think there's too much deceit in that because it's going to be a video. Hey, you want to come to church and watch a movie on Billy Graham's last crusade? You know, several weeks ago, I went across the street because my neighbor was doing his lawn, and I talked to him, and he was working. And you know, I'm always, don't you hate it when you want to go over to the neighbors, you think, what am I going to say? And I went over there, and I talked to him, and I asked him a few questions, and boom, he's talking for 45 minutes. Because I always forget, people like to talk about themselves, right? We forget that, you know. And so he's talking away and telling me what he did and all this kind of thing. And he says, and then the asphalt is stained and I can't get it up. And I said, well, I have a power washer. Yeah, and he's got a little 1,400. I got 3,000. You know, and so I said, I'll bring my 3,000 over and we'll get that street straightened right out. So he never came over, of course. And, you know, I said, you can just take it out of my deal. He didn't do it, you know, because he wasn't comfortable enough. So the other day he's out there spraying this week. And I get home and I see him spraying. So I pull my 3,000 out and I walk across the street and I said, come on, let's do this. And I mean, it's going to take you forever. You're going to be out here till 9 at night. You know, turn off that little 1,400 and let's crank this baby up. So he cranked it up and we were spraying it and watching it. And then I came back and talked to him again. Well, here's the thing. Two times now in about a month, I've had a chance to talk to my neighbor across the street. And we've talked the first time for about 45 minutes, and we probably talked 15 to a half an hour. And so I've now established a little bit of relationship with him. And he'll be able to, I'm going to hand him the tickets. Just say, you know, we built this church 4.5 years ago, and I think you and one of the other neighbors said you'd really like to come see it. Well, we're showing a movie on Billy Graham's Last Crusade, and I'd love for you to come, and then I'll give you a tour of the building and buy you some lattes. Think that will work? I don't know. I hope so. Let me give you another example. This week, I spent some time, almost the whole week, with a friend of mine. We had worked together since 1999, and it was in the consulting business. And he's from the Republic of Boulder. And so he thinks like a Boulderite. And so very opposite. We're totally opposite, and we totally love each other. One of those kind of relationships, you know what I'm saying? And he doesn't go to church. He doesn't have faith in God. And he asked me a question while we're driving along, and I answered it with a Bible verse before I forgot what I was doing, because God used my mouth in spite of me. And out comes this scripture, and I said to him, oh, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't offend you by using scripture, but there's, and he goes, no, there's wisdom in the Bible, I know that, and there's good wisdom, and he said, boy, what you said totally made sense, and so I thought, oh, okay. You know, and so I finally asked him, would you consider yourself an agnostic or would you consider yourself an atheist? Now I want you to listen to this, okay, having spent some time there. He says, well, I've been thinking about that for a while. He said, I think I'm an atheist. Well, I don't care about his, I think I'm an atheist. I'm thinking about, oh, I've been thinking about this for a while, right? Because we've been spending time together, and he sees me, and this week he said, you know what, Steve, there's one thing about you. My wife says, whatever Steve says, you can trust. Wow, that's kind of cool. And so I have this relationship with his wife, with him, and so We talked a lot, and I did a couple things for him that are going to be great in his life, because really I'm dragging him to the field when I go. And so I'm going to just ask him, hey, I don't have anybody to bring on November 2nd or 3rd. Will you come and be my guys? Right? Why is he thinking about it? He's 72. He's thinking about the day when he takes his last breath. And so you can be an atheist in your 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, and you can be pretty hardcore, but it gets less hardcore as it goes on, because just at that funeral, every one of us land there. Amen? Every one of us land there, and he's going to land there too, and so am I, and so are you. He's on my Matthew list, and I'm praying for him. And I don't know if he'll come. I'm going to ask him. I was hoping I had the tickets so I could hand him the tickets, because he came in this morning to get some stuff. And he's on my prayer list, and I'm going to invite those neighbors and on Friends Day. And if they don't come, they don't come. That's not my problem. That's God's problem. Amen? My problem is to go and tell them. My charge from God is not to reconcile them, not to make them a Christian. My job is just to tell them. Then it's between them and the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit's working on that guy. But you wouldn't know it, but then I've been there, and I know he is working on him. And so my last question here today for you is, will you open your mouth? Pretty simple question, pretty hardcore answer, isn't it? Will you open your mouth and share about your life and share how God changed your life with those people in your life? You don't have to go the whole gamut. You can just go a step at a time, like I'm doing with this guy, one step at a time, answer with Scripture. Oops. Will you open your mouth? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning loving you and loving what you say in your Scriptures. Lord, thank you for Moses. Thank you for Moses being weak like us, and you including that in all of, because he came one of the most greatest, well, you called him the greatest leader in all of Israel. A leader who had to work with 5 million people. Lord, that makes me sick to my stomach just thinking about it. Lord, help us to open our mouth and tell the lost, be reconciled to you. While your heads are still bowed, you may be here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you came seeking it, secretly seeking it, or maybe not even secretly. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can come into a relationship with God. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to say a little prayer. And if I'm talking to you, my friend, this morning, you just pray this prayer along with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life too. Lord, I believe that you rose from the dead, and I believe that you rose from the dead for me. So come into my life and save me today. While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, in a minute, will you raise your hand up, put it down? Let God know you meant business this morning. Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we're so excited. Almost every week we see hands go up. I thank you for all the hands that went up yesterday afternoon to start a relationship with you. And Lord, help us as a people here to surround those people and teach them and coach them through and help them through as they turn their life over to you. And Lord, there is nothing better than turning our lives over to you, because they're just not very valuable if we don't. So thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your grace, because you do it not by works, our bad, evil works, or our good works. You don't do it by that. You do it by faith alone. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, we want to honor you, the Father. And we want to honor Jesus Christ, your Son who sits on the throne, who is our King, and who saved us by his death. So may you be honored this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.